As pastor of this church, I am so blessed by people's commitment to read through the Word of God. I'm so blessed by how many people are getting through the Scriptures. And because this is life, this changes our life. This right here is God breathed, and as it comes out, and you know, we read it so many times because the next year we go through it, there's another issue on our heart that all of a sudden the God will speak to us through the Scriptures about that particular issue this year. Or the next thing you've got going on, or the trial you're having, or the hardship that you're facing, then God is going to speak to you again through the Scriptures. It's not like, oh yeah, I know the Bible. No, it's a living word. It's not just static, it's dynamic. And His mercies are new every morning. His nuggets are new every morning. I love when I go, whoa, I never saw that before. I've read that passage so many times, I never thought about it like that. God wants to do great things inside of us. Well, we've been talking about our 2020 vision. We're in the year 2020. We're talking about 2020 vision, this faith-filled stewardship adventure as we're trying to pay off our building and all of that. But I'm talking to us also about what is our vision, our personal vision for this year. We talked about blind Bartimaeus. So as we're talking about vision, I was always talking about the enemy's attempt to try to blind us. And we talked about blind Bartimaeus, and Jesus stops him and says, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, I want to receive my sight. I want to have vision. I want to be able to see. Is that where we are? We want to see things we've not seen before. We want to see things in the Spirit we've never ventured into before. Last week we talked about the God of this age has blinded people. That he comes in and he steals stuff from you. And the way he steals it, he's really secretive. And he takes just a little. He does it secretly and casually so that you don't even notice that it's being stolen from you. But our minds today in our society are being stolen from us. Last week I went through a video as well, and I was trying to use this video to describe how does the devil steal our and rob our mind in a casual way today. That video was very important. And so if I might, I'm going to ask all of you, if you weren't here last Sunday, could you please do me a favor, pick up last week's message. It's about 30 some minutes long. Pick up the message because the video in there is very important. I want you to understand how does the enemy rob our mind. Because he doesn't just rob and blind people's eyes out there that are non-Christian. He also blinds the eyes of Christians to certain things, to certain understandings. That's what he's trying to do. That message, though, began to describe how that process happens and to give you help and to know what you need to guard against. But I think it's a very, very powerful lesson. So please, just go on the app, go online, either way. You can go either way and just put the last video. It would have been vision number 2. It was our second point in the series on vision. I want to continue now. We talked about how Jesus opens eyes. And he doesn't. There's many spots in the Scripture where he opens up eyes. I've given you one about blind Bartimaeus. Aaron, in about 3 weeks or so, is going to give us another one. About another blind person who was blind from birth. He's going to relate that to us. But I want to switch at the moment here between Jesus opens up eyes. God, I believe, opens up eyes. The Holy Spirit also opens up eyes. So I want to look at this aspect of the second part. Jesus opens eyes, but also God opens eyes. God opens eyes. And I want to start in Psalm 146:5-8. Happy is he, says, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. He's going to give two reasons why you should be happy. Number one, you've got God for your help. And number two, whose hope is in the Lord. Not only is God your help, God is your hope. You know, if our hope is in the stock market, oh, it's going up, it's going up. Believe me, it's going to go down. It is going to go down something, okay? I'm not just being a prophet. I'm just telling you, it's going to go down. It's what it does, all right? It's going to go up. It's going to go down. If your life is based on the stock market, you're going to have good times and you're going to have bad times as you ride through all of that stuff. If it's based on anything else, your job or anything else, you're going to find that life isn't really as fulfilling as it could be if it's based on something else rather than based on the Lord for your help and the Lord for your hope. Because the Lord gives us hope. He tells us we win in the end. Happy, happy, happy is he whose hope and help are in God. Let me see happy Christians. Let me see. Smile. We used to always do it with our kids, you know. Are you happy? Yeah. And they go, well, tell your face that you're happy. Tell your face. When we go out in that world, we've got to be different than the rest of the world. We've got to be smiling when the rest of the world's frowning because they're going to ask you, what are you smiling about? Well, I'm not smiling because the stock market went down or up or whatever. I'm smiling because Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And he changes not. And he's got an eternal plan for me here. And he's got a wonderful plan for me after I exit this planet. It's going to be absolutely incredible. My hope is in God. Not in anything else I possess or have. My hope is in God. And that's what makes me happy. He's also my help. Who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them. Who keeps truth forever. Who executes justice, number one, for the oppressed. Number two, he gives food for the hungry. Number three, the Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. And number four, what does it say? The Lord? The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. I said last week, the problem with our world today is that the God of this age has blinded the minds of people. Of well-meaning people, but don't understand that they're blind, that they can't see things correctly. You see, the devil is in the blinding business, but the God is in the opening eyes business. And by meaning opening eyes, he gives us a revelation. We see things differently. I'm not talking about our natural eyesight. I'm talking about our spiritual eyesight. Then we begin to see things we didn't see before. And that's why I said we need to keep going through the scriptures because you're going to start seeing things you never saw before. But on a day-to-day basis, as we're walking in the Spirit, he begins to show us things we never really saw before. Because it's about spiritual sight. Spiritual eyes. That God wants to heal the blindness. You see, the Lord wants to open your eyes to the things of the Spirit. Say that with me. The Lord wants to open my eyes to the things of the Spirit, but the devil wants to open your eyes to the things of the... Note that. God is always trying to open up your eyes through every situation, every problem, everything that's going on, that you might see it from his point of view, that you might see it from the Spirit. But the devil spends his time trying to open up your eyes to the world and its system. To take it in. To evaluate things from that perspective. To make decisions based on what I took in from the world. In Genesis 3:7, it's very interesting. Remember, the devil is tempting Adam and Eve. Tells them to eat this fruit. It's okay. It's okay. I know God told you not to. But go ahead. It's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and so they do. And what happens? In Genesis 3:7, very important. Their eyes were opened. To what? Their eyes were... How did they get opened? The devil tempted them into do something that God told them not to do. And as they did that and partook of that, all of a sudden their eyes were opened to something that God told them, I don't want you looking at. To an understanding, to a knowledge that he didn't want them to have. And with that knowledge, they say, hey, and they knew that they were naked. All of a sudden, right then, bam, their innocence is lost. And all of a sudden, whoa, sin becomes very apparent to them. Their eyes were opened. The devil opened up their eyes to the world. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves... What does it say? Coverings. Why did they make themselves coverings? To cover up. Their eyes are open and now they start hiding. That's the next thing that they do. Because now they've done what they know is wrong. And instead of coming back and going, Lord, we've sinned. All of a sudden the enemy goes, oh no, it's not so bad. And we learn how to put fig leaves around everything. We learn how to cover stuff up. We learn how to not face our problems or our issues or our sin. And we, the devil teaches us how to just cover it up. You're okay. Don't worry about it. He opens up our eyes to the things of the world that are going to destroy us. And then he tells us and encourages us to just cover up. Just cover up. Nobody knows. Nobody needs to know. Nobody needs to be the one wiser. Just be quiet. Shut up. Just endure it. And tomorrow I got something great to show you tomorrow. You're really going to love this one. Oh, yeah. And we do. And until it becomes our addiction, it traps us. And we cover it. And years go by. I hate him. I hate the devil. I hate the cosmic creator, the world ruler of this world, of the cosmos, the cosmic creator. You see, God opens eyes, eyes that are blind. The enemy tries to blind your eyes or open up the eyes, if you will, to worldly things. But he is opening up my eyes. Now think about this, because I'm going to go on a Abbott and Costello thing here in a moment. The Spirit can't be seen, right? He wants to open up our eyes to the what? The Spirit. But we know that the Spirit can't be seen, right? It's like the wind. But God opens up our blind eyes so we can see that which can't be seen. The Spirit. Now think about that for a moment. God opens up our blind eyes so we can see that which can't be seen. The Spirit. God takes my eyes and opens it up to that which I can't see. God allows us to see that which can't be seen, exactly. But if you can't see it, how can you see it? You need God. So God allows us to see that which we can't see, exactly. How does he do that? By allowing you to see that which you can't see. But how? By the Holy Spirit. So God uses something that can't be seen, the Spirit, to help us to see things that can't be seen. Yes, now you got it. Okay. We can't see the Spirit, but he opens us up to the Spirit. So we see things that no one else can see. Those that don't have spiritual eyes, we evaluate things differently than a worldly person who's evaluating things from a worldly perspective, whose mind the God of this age has blinded. And only open it up to worldly things. We got a God who moves by the Spirit, who's trying to open us up to spiritual values, spiritual understanding, spiritual mandates that only come from the Spirit that nobody else can see. Or it makes no understanding to them. Some people read through the Bible and it says, I love your enemies. That sounds stupid. That doesn't seem right. The way up is the way down. You want to love your life? If you love your life, you're going to lose it. If you lose your life, you're going to gain it. That doesn't make sense to me. But it does to them who by the Spirit have had their eyes opened up. I want my eyes to be opened. Healing of spiritual blindness brings us an aha moment in your walk with God. An aha moment. We don't see it. We don't see it. We don't see it. We're asking God to open our eyes and all of a sudden he opens it up and you go, aha. Aha moments is a result of him opening up that spiritual blindness. An aha moment is a revelation that can come only from the Holy Spirit of God. A lot of times a revelation makes no sense to anyone else. It's only by the Spirit that it makes sense to us. And if it's been a while since you've had an aha moment, ask God for one. We've all had them. You've had the moment where all of a sudden something makes sense to you. But if it's been a while, then ask God, Lord, I want some more aha moments in my life. I want some more aha moments as I'm reading through the scripture. I want some aha moments as I'm facing trials and tribulations and troubles, Lord. I want some aha moments so I see what the Spirit is doing in all of this rather than what the world is opening up my eyes to. An aha moment. An aha moment. You see, God gives aha moments. The devil gives ha-ha moments. The devil gives ha-ha moments. You see, he will mock you. Hey, try this, do this, do that, click on that. Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't you just love that? Don't you love this? Now you're trapped and he's going, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. You're stuck. open you up to things, and he'll laugh at you when you're done. He'll mock you as a Christian. You call yourself a Christian, you doing that? Give up. Give in. Let it go. Quit. Quit fighting it. Don't. You're a loser. That's not what God says. Because he never gives up on you. You see, aha moments in God, they shape and deepen our Christian walk. An aha moment. My aha moments, some of them, as I was praying the prayer when I was a young kid and prayed to get saved when I was 12 years old because I didn't want to go to hell, and that was all it was. It didn't change my life one bit. I was still doing all the hellish things that I shouldn't be doing until all of a sudden one day, and it was in this church, I finally had a revelation that Jesus Christ was on the cross, and that should have been me. You know, I was here that Jesus died for your sin. Oh, he died for your sins. Great. So let's just throw it all on him and go about life. And when I mess up, throw it on there again. When I mess up, throw it on there again. When I saw Jesus Christ on the cross and he's going, that's my sin. I should be up there and he took it. He took it in my place. And all of a sudden I'm realizing he took it for me. You decided you love me so much that you got up there in my place. That should be me. When I realized the judgment of my sin, all of a sudden I broke down. I had an aha moment and I said, Jesus Christ, come into my life. I've messed it up from this point, but you can have whatever's left of it. The next aha moment was when I'm just thinking, you know, Lord's a Savior, Lord's a Savior, Lord's a Savior. Hey, thanks. Save me from this, save me from that. Everything's wonderful. And then I had an aha moment realizing it wasn't just Savior. It's Savior and Savior and Savior and Lord means he's the boss. Lord means he's not your Santa Claus. Lord means he doesn't just open up a parking spot because you want it. He may because he loves you, but just thinking that, oh, I just throw my wish list there and he's my Santa Claus list and I just give him all the stuff and he does all that stuff and I just enjoy the blessings. But I realize all of a sudden, wait, he's the boss and I'm not. He tells me what to do. I thought I told him what to do. No, he tells me what to do and then gives me the provision to do it. Aha moment for me. An aha moment. I'll tell you, every Christian better have two of those. Aha moment that I am a sinner saved by grace. An aha moment realizing I'm not the boss. I live for something higher than me and my pleasure. I live for the kingdom of God. Another aha moment is during a time of suffering when I realize, well, that we grow through suffering. Another time was when he called me to ministry and I really didn't know if I wanted to do that and leave the job I'd been in for so long. And all of a sudden, after 6 months, I said, aha. The other one was when I was under so much stress and trying to hold things together. And he said, Phil, you're just a pawn. You're just a pawn. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on me. Stress left my life. Jesus gives us these moments where all of a sudden we see things differently than we've ever seen them before. I want you to look at this video. This video, before we started, is about two boys, two brothers. They're both colorblind. They've only seen black and white all their life until their parents got them a pair of glasses, allows them to see in color. Look at this. So they don't know what it is. They're just opening up the thing.
Close your eyes and then open them. Look at the towel and Dad. What do you see? Tell us.
He just starts to cry. That's his other brother that can't see color. Colorblind.
They're both colorblind. Jimmy, tell us what you see.
They're taken by the emotion of it. They see things they've never seen before.
So bright.
It is bright.
It's bright.
Check it out.
It's bright.
It's so different.
It's so different.
Train your brain to where maybe you see in color all the time.
The Lord made you to see in color.
That towel's like completely different, dude. That towel, like...
Brian, come closer with the towel. Bring it over here, closer to him. Over
look
there.
At him, look in the trees. Brian, he's looking at everything. It's like it came alive.
What color are the numbers on the back of Ryan's shirt? Ryan, turn around. That's orange, Jimmy.
That's what orange looks like.
It is? How about this, Jim? What do you see here?
Green.
Yeah. He's right. How do you know?
That's what it's like. Do I like to see something you've never seen before? It's always been there. It's been there, but I've not seen it how God intended me to see it. And I'm telling you, we look at situations and problems and issues, and we don't see it the way God intended us to see it. He intended us to look at life through the eyes of the Spirit, not through the eyes of the world. All right. Now we're going to start the message. Can everybody please stand as we go through our scripture? Believe me, we'll be done on time. It's interesting because it's one of the scriptures that was prophesied by Brenda as she came up here. I don't know that she knew if I knew what I was speaking about, but this was it. It's the servant of Elisha. Let's pick it up in verse 15. Let's say it together. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. Problems. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You may be seated. The army of the Lord was there. I want to talk to you this morning about what are you seeing? Are you seeing what's really there or what the world shows you is there? Are we seeing in the Spirit? Let me just dissect this scripture just a little bit. I'm going to start back in verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. Syria was coming down and making war against the king of Israel. And he consulted with his servants saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God, Elisha, sent to the king of Israel saying, "Beware that you not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." He knew what the king was going to do, what the Syrian king was going to do. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had warned him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and he said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" He's trying to find out who's spying on us. Who's the traitor here? Who's the spy? Because every time I come up with an idea, all of a sudden the king of Israel already knows what I'm going to do. And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." He tells you what you're thinking and saying in secret because God has showed it to him. So he said, "Go and see where he is that I may send and get him." He wants to get this guy because he'll never make any moves of strategy with Elisha telling him every move that's happening. So he said, "Go and see where he is that I may send and get him." And it was told him saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God, the servant of Elijah, arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master," say it with me. Have you ever said that in your life? Tough situation, problem, issue. I don't know what we're going to do. What shall we do? What shall we do? Elisha's servant looked out one morning and saw what he thought was a hopeless situation. We're going to die today. I'm sure that's what he thought. Hopeless situation. Ever been overwhelmed? Feeling outnumbered, outmanned, just out of it? When things look impossible and you just don't know what to do? Ever ask God in a tough situation, what shall I do? I want to give 5 points of answer to that question when you face it next time from this scripture. What should I do? What should I do? Verse 16 gives us our first point. So he, Elisha, answered, do not fear. First thing, facing a tough situation, do not fear. Do not fear. What's the first thing we do in a tough situation? Fear. Don't fear. Don't fear. Do not fear. The number one tactic of the enemy is to get you to fear. Once you're afraid, you can't think correctly. You don't know what you're doing. You're running. You're hiding. You don't fear. What should I do? Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't fear situations. Don't fear circumstances. Don't fear people. There's only one person you should fear, and that's the Lord. And that fear is a reverent fear because he's your help. Elisha's servant must have thought that there's a whole army out here for them, and then only you and I for us. We're outnumbered a lot to two. A lot to two. But what does Elisha say to him? For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. I'm sure at that moment when he said that, he's going, I don't get it. Yeah, there's two of us and a lot of them, and there's more for... Let me say the second point. You and God make a majority in any situation. You and God make a majority. You know, you ever seen those cartoons where there's some little duck or something like that, and he's trying to face all of these dogs or something, and he's trying to say, no, you shouldn't. And behind him, there's this big, bruising, enormous thing, you know, like that. And the guy is going, no, you better not. And all of a sudden, they all run, and he's thinking, wow, that was great. The whole reason is because of who was behind him. You're not too good, all right? You're not too hot. But who's behind you is. He's really good. He's intimidating. He can be scary. He's almighty, all power, omniscient, omnipresent. He's a lot. Number 3, verse 17. And Elisha prayed. Third point, pray. Talk to God about it. Pray, intercede, cry out, tell the Lord. I don't care. Kick, do, moan, yell, get someplace, your quiet time somewhere, someplace, and you scream. I don't care what you just let God know what's going on and what you feel about it. That's okay. But then you got to listen to him. He prayed. Talk to God. He asked God to move. And then he says this. And he said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Now, let me ask you a question. Could the servant already see? He has eyes, doesn't he? Is he talking about these eyes? He's not talking about his natural eyes here, right? But he says, open his eyes that he may see. He can see just fine. He asked that he might see with spiritual eyes. You see, Elisha saw something that his servant didn't at that moment. As a Christian, and you're walking out through life, you're going to see some things the Lord's going to show you that maybe some other people, friends that maybe don't know the Lord, don't see and are going to give you advice that's going to be contrary to what the Lord says because they don't see what you see. God says something to you and it means everything. And they don't get it. I remember my mom when I told them, yeah, I'm quitting civil engineering and I'm going to go into full-time ministry. Oh, well, does it pay better? No, it doesn't pay better. It doesn't pay as much, as a matter of fact. It's quite a cut. But she didn't get it right then. But I had 6 months of the Holy Spirit beating on me. And I got it. I had an aha moment. You see, when you get an aha moment and you step out in faith with it, there are going to be other people, well-meaning folks, who are probably going to not understand where you're at.
It's true. It's true.
I got to do what the Lord's asked me to do. I see something different than you see right now. Elisha saw it. His servant did, and he asked them, open his eyes. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, not his natural eyes. He opened up something else, his spiritual eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. It was like, holy cow, bum, 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 bum. I mean, it was, people nowadays don't even know what that song means. Over here, they're going, what? Chariots of fire, man, it's just, wow. I bet he went, dude, this is awesome. Were they not there? Were they always there? But now he could see them. Do you understand, as you're going through difficulties and troubles in your life, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, oh my God, the Lord and his power and resources is there. You may not see it all clearly yet, but it's there and it will never leave. We just have to have eyes to see. Lord, open up my eyes. When's the last time in a tough situation you said, Lord, I see, Lord, open up my eyes to your spirit that I can see what you're doing here. What are you doing, Lord? What are you doing, Lord? The Lord's army now, he saw what Elisha saw. And he saw why Elisha wasn't worried. Elisha did not pray that God would change anything in the situation. Note, Elisha did not pray that God would change anything in the situation. His only request was that a servant could actually see the reality of the situation. Oh God, take us away from me. I don't want that. Please make this not happen. I don't want to go through that. We're always praying, take away. And God's always going, oh, I'm going to take you through. We always pray take away prayers, and God says, could you start praying take me through prayers? I don't want to be taken away from this. I want to be taken through this thing. I want to get to the other side of it. Because if you take it away, it'll come again. If you take it away, it'll come again. If I get through it, then I know I can go, I can get through this thing. I don't want take away prayers. I want take me through prayers. You see, here's the fourth point. Let God open your eyes to see what the Spirit is doing. Ah. I need an aha moment, Lord. I'm in trouble. We have them outnumbered. We have them outnumbered. We have them outnumbered. Now hear this. Sometimes, right in the middle of the most terrifying times of your life is the safest place to be because God's there.
Amen.
Now think about it. Here he is thinking he was in the worst place he could ever be because he's outnumbered. When his eyes were open to see, he realized, I'm in the best place I could ever be because I'm protected by all of this. He went from realizing I'm in the worst place to I'm in the best place. I go from this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me to this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Because God's here. And I'm going to grow as a Christian. I'm going to grow as a spiritual man. I'm going to grow. I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be transformed. Instead of, oh Lord, take away, take me through. Sometimes things are not how we see them. There's always two ways to see a situation when a tough thing happens to you. With natural eyes, we're doomed. We'll never make it. We're going to get killed. Life is over as I know it. Or with spiritual eyes. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and He does. He's there. He's there in the midst. The presence of God is right there in the trouble. We're just agitated. You can't feel it yet. I got to get away. Lord, open my eyes to see. You're here. You're here, Lord. You're here. You're in the middle of this. If I'm in it with you, it doesn't matter. I don't understand why it's here or what you're doing, but you're here. You're here, therefore. It's good. It's good, Lord. Help me through it. Help me through it. In tough situations, natural eyes usually see fear, but spiritual eyes see faith. Now I have to tell you, many times I've been there. Okay, I'm not telling you, oh, I know how to do it. I'm just telling you, yeah, I know how to do it. I don't know that I always do it. But when you see with His eyes, let's continue on here. Verse 18, so the Syrians came down to him. Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. Now he got the seeing blind. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. It's like he took the person who couldn't see spiritually and made him see spiritually. And then he took the people that could see naturally and made them so they couldn't see naturally. He's a powerful dude. I've seen many accounts of people praying, Lord, we're smuggling Bibles across the border here, and we got stopped by the border, and what they prayed is, Lord, help them not to see. And they look at it all, and they go, okay, go through. How'd that happen? God blinded them. They couldn't see it. You hear stories of that. He prayed that his enemy, those there to capture him and do him harm, would be blinded. And God blinded them so they could not capture him or do him harm. They came for one thing, and then now they can't do that. They can't do what they came for because God did something. Verse 19. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me. Now remember, they're blinded. Now Elisha says, hey, follow me. And they just all start following him. Now we've got the world following the person who's saved, right? I mean, ever pray, Lord, blind their eyes to the world and open it up to the Spirit so that I can show them something. So it was when they had come to Samaria, okay, but he led them to Samaria. He followed me and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. They were seeking the king of Israel. But he led them to Samaria. So it was, which is where the nation of Israel was housed, right? The king was there. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men and that they may see. I mean, this guy is boom, boom, boom. I mean, he's a pretty powerful dude. He prays and the eyes are opened and shut and opened and shut and prays that they be opened. The Lord opened their eyes and they saw that they were inside Samaria. Now, when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Elisha said, yes! But he answered, you shall not kill them. Well, I don't get it. Didn't God bring him here so he could annihilate them? Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? And then look what he tells them to do. Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Excuse me, this is going to cost me something. It's a whole army here. I got a whole army. I'm going to feed them. So now they're going to be, get them all fed and They're going to have energy now and we're going to have a big battle? What the heck do you want me to do here? We have the advantage. Attack! Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Then he, the king, prepared a great, didn't prepare food for them, a great feast for them. Whoa, 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 whoa. Everything seems to be changing in this thing. I kept thinking, Lord, I'm praying. We're praying. Come, Lord, come and do this thing. And oh, we have the army and we take them away now. Lord, we have the victory. Yeah! No! No! What? No. It's not how you thought it was going to be. Isn't it? Many times. The answer, not how you thought it was going to be. You're praying, Lord, Lord, do this, Lord, do this, Lord, do this, Lord, do this. And he does completely something different and it comes out better and you go, wow. This is their enemy and God directs them not to kill them, but to feed them. After they drank, they ate and drank, he sent them away and they went to their master. He gives them hospitality. I don't think they had hospitality majors back then. It was more like war majors, but a new major God was bringing. Not the resolution everyone thought would happen. When faced with an enemy or a tough situation, we think our options are fight or flight. But God gives us a third option, faith. What might God do? Here's what you should do. Here's what they all say. But what might God do? What might God do? Eyes of faith understand the nearness of God's presence. We're bringing this to a close. So the bands of Assyrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. God resolved the problem. They didn't come anymore because they were coming and raiding all the time. God resolved the conflict with hospitality rather than hostility. And isn't that the way he'd prefer most times? You have a conflict, you have an issue, you have a problem. I wonder if hospitality, graciousness, rather than hostility might be an answer. So here's my fifth point. The resolution to the story is not what you would expect. Don't lock onto a resolution that you think should happen and you're praying for, but allow God to do his will. He just might surprise you. Hold your ideas of what God should do lightly. Trust his eternal vantage point, not your temporal one. We put more faith in our temporal advantage point than God's. I want to read this concluding statement from a guy, a pastor, Dennis Bratcher. He said this about this passage of scripture. How often do we have eyes and yet do not see? We see the problems, the opposition, and the people who oppose us clearly. Yet we sometimes have trouble seeing beyond our adversity to the resources God can provide for us. Sometimes God's resources will enable us to emerge on top. Often God will enable us to survive the onslaught. Sometimes God will simply give us strength to maintain a Christ-like spirit in the midst of abuse and ill treatment at the hands of others. Yet the resources of God are there, even when we can't always see them. Trusting God, even when we cannot see the chariots of fire on the mountain, is spiritual sight. We call it faith. Whether you can see it or not, the Lord has an army on your side. So fear not. Father, I pray that we would not fear, but we would just let faith arise. And Father, I pray you'd give us aha moments in the midst of our trials and tribulations and adversities, that we would see like the prophet Elisha saw. He had faith and he was bold. We're so many times like his servant, Lord. We just don't see it. We just don't get it, but we're asking. Help us to see it. Help us to get it. Open up our eyes, Lord, to to the Spirit of the living God. Because we need you, Lord. Because we love you, Lord. Because you're our life, Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to end just as the closers are coming, they're going to... Our mission statement here at Living Faith Fellowship is to make devoted followers of Jesus in community, empowered by the Holy Spirit. I spent a lot of time in this last semester and even now talking about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that God gives us, because we want to make devoted followers. But part of our mission statement is in community. We're not lone rangers. Hey, I'm on by myself doing all this. No, I'm in community. I got people. I got believers. I got people who can help shoulder what I'm going through and help me and encourage me. I've said that, you know, our service consists of three parts. There's the worship component, there's the preaching component, and there's everything that happens after I say you're dismissed. That's the fellowship component. That's the community component. And all three of them are important for our service. Which one would you get rid of? None. We have to get rid of something, then we have to shorten it. We need this. We need this. Another way we try to build community is through small groups. And today we have our small group Sunday where you can get involved in a small group. You might be saying, you know, I don't need one. Well, might I say they need you. Don't be selfish. Help somebody else. Try it. You just might like it. You can sign up afterwards. God bless. Announcers.